Hey there, StoryCorps podcast listeners. Nadia Raymond here. So have you ever wondered when, like when exactly, does learning begin? Have you asked yourself, are we at the end of privacy? If so, the TED Radio Hour is just for you. It's a journey through fascinating ideas, astonishing inventions, fresh approaches to old problems, and new ways to think and create. And if you listen closely this week, you'll catch our founder, the incomparable Dave Isay, sharing his two cents. Find the TED Radio Hour podcast at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app.
Welcome to the StoryCorps podcast. I'm Michael Garofalo, one of the producers here. And in this episode, we're going to hear stories from our Military Voices Initiative. That's our ongoing effort to collect stories from people who have served in post-9/11 conflicts and their families. Bringing us these stories is Andres Caballero, who is our Military Voices producer. Hi, Andres.
Hi, Michael.
So you've got two stories for us today, and they're both about people trying to rebuild their lives after war.
Yeah, the first one is about Marine Corporal Zach Skiles, who struggled with homelessness. The piece begins by Scott remembering the day that he dropped off his son at his base in San Diego right before he deployed to Iraq. Zach sat down with his father to talk about this period in his life for the first time.
I remember saying to you, every gift that I've been given, I don't have a better one than to be your dad. And I remember you smiling, saying, I love you too, Dad. And then you got out of the car and went to war. So what was life like after you came home?
I was pretty sure someone was going to kick down my door, and I was scared to go to sleep. I couldn't sustain employment. I couldn't pay rent and pay for groceries. It all just kind of fell apart. And then I was homeless. The crazy thing was that I didn't think that there was anything super wrong. You know, the nighttime, I stayed on coastal trails and hiking trails. And in the daytime, I could just pass out at a park.
There was a time period where I didn't know where you were. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult to watch anyone let go of hope. But when it's your son, it's excruciating. I remember great relief that you decided to go into inpatient treatment. And I remember one night you getting out of the car to walk back into the treatment building. It was dark and your head was kind of down. And for a moment, I could feel the weight you were carrying. As I watched you walk into that building, I uttered these two words that I don't know if they were some kind of prayer or not, but they just came out, my son. And I was absolutely overcome with grief and love and the beginning of hope. What is life like for you now?
It's pretty cool.
You graduated undergrad.
Yes.
I heard summa cum laude. I'm just asking. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I remember my dad saying this to me, and I feel it is so true between you and I. It is your life, so you have the last word. But then as your dad, that gives me the second to the last word. And the second to the last word is, I believe in you. And I'm on your side.
That was Marine Corporal Zach Skiles and his father, Scott Skiles. They recorded this conversation in San Francisco.
So Andres, can you tell us a little bit about how Zach turned his life around?
Well, it was actually a long process for him because during the time that he was homeless, he was in denial that he even had PTSD. So when it came to actually finding a program, he went to this place called The Pathway Home. It's one of the places that has really had a lot of success stories in turning the lives of these veterans around.
And what about Zach? What is he up to now?
So Zach finished his undergrad, and he just found out he got into the Wright Institute in Berkeley for a clinical psychology doctoral program. So he's waiting to start that in the fall.
So this next story is one that we aired back in the fall as part of our Military Voices series, but we're revisiting it now because there's an update. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, so this story is about Army Sergeant Paul Braun. He was deployed to Basra, Iraq, in 2009. And that's where he met his interpreter, Philip.
And Philip is a nickname, right? Because he really liked to smoke Philip Morris cigarettes.
That's right. That's a nickname that he decided the soldiers would call him.
And we're going to stick with that for this story for reasons that will become clear as we go along.
Yes. And when Paul went back to the United States, Philip was left behind. And it took Paul about 3 years to get Philip to safety in the United States. But that's when he started to miss his wife and kids. He has 3 daughters and 1 son. So he decided to go back to Iraq to get them out.
And the conversation we're about to hear was recorded 1 week before he left.
Do you remember the first day that we met?
Oh, you scared me, dude. Your attitude in the beginning and with your mohawk.
I scared everybody with that mohawk.
You told me, if you try to mess with my soldier, I will shoot you.
And what did you do?
I was smiling at
you. You smiled at me and said, someday we will be able to laugh about this conversation while we're drinking tea. And that's when I knew, I think this guy will be okay. We started to trust you. And since you fought with us and you bled with us and you lived with us, you became us. And my Iraqi interpreter became my American brother.
And my American soldier became my Iraqi brother. I used to hate American. You are our enemy, and that's it. And you're the only one who changed my mind. With you, I was talking about the similarity between us as people. It's just about being human, there or here.
I remember sitting down one day thinking, I didn't want to leave you alone. I knew how dangerous it was for you because we saw those people that were murdered for being interpreters. And I was so afraid that that was going to happen to you. And it took years to get the proper documents to get you over here.
And I'm lucky to make it here.
You have 3 daughters and a son and a wife.
Yep.
I'm waiting for that day that you are able to bring them over here. How do you feel about having to go back to get your family?
I'm scared, actually, because of ISIS. They control the roads and it's dangerous.
I hate to ask you, what do you think your odds of being able to make it back alive are?
Let's make it 50-50, man. Like, really 50-50.
It's frustrating hearing you talk about the dangers that you're going to go through over there and not being able to go with you to help you. As you helped me, I wanted to be able to help you back.
I appreciate you saying that, but really, you can't. Just pray for me. That's it. I love you, brother.
I love you too, brother. Intalahoy.
Habibi.
So Philip leaves and goes back to Iraq, and then what happened?
So once in Iraq, he started the application with the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad to bring his family. The visas for his family were denied, actually. And during that time, he also received more threats from local militias. They threatened his brother, who had to flee his house. ISIS killed his uncle and his aunt. And for his safety, he decided to come back to the United States and reapply for his family with the help of an organization called the Iraqi Refugee Assistance Project. So now he's waiting to actually get his family to the United States.
Well, hopefully when that day does come, we'll be able to check back in with Philip and hear from him and maybe his wife and his kids as well.
Yeah, and we're all looking forward to that.
Well, that's it for this episode of the StoryCorps podcast. Andres, thanks so much for sharing these stories from our Military Voices initiative.
Thank you, Michael.
We've been recording the stories of post-9/11 vets and their families for a couple years now, and you can hear those stories at StoryCorps.org. For the StoryCorps podcast, I'm Michael Garofalo. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everyone. It's me again, Nadia Raymond, reminding you to subscribe to the TED Radio Hour podcast to hear astonishing, innovative ideas and great speakers. Get it at npr.org/podcasts or on the NPR One app.